We are learning Tanya, and we are by chapter 4. The main subject of chapter 4 is Levushim. Levushim means garments. The garments of the soul. The Alter Rebbe is defining basically what the soul is and how does it work. So he started saying in the previous chapter, the intellect and the emotions. I'm not going to go back, of course. And over here, we're defining the Levushim, the garments, through which the soul expresses itself in the world. So the soul has three garments: machshava, dibur, maisis, thought, speech, and action. And this is what the Alter Rebbe is explaining. And he's using an example. The example is what's thought. Thought means, in the service of God, of course, thinking and knowing. This word is important. Knowing. I'm not making a difference over here about knowledge and wisdom. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how much stored knowledge do you have in your head about Judaism, of course, about Torah. This is what is called machshava. In this case, the levush, the garment of thought, is okay. So how much Torah do you know, knowledge? And then you have speech, of course, talking about Torah, learning Torah. And then you have action, that means doing what the Torah is telling you to do, and of course not doing what you're not supposed to do, but action is actually doing. So these are the three garments and how the Alter Rebbe explains them in the example of the soul regarding Torah. Behine, now, shloisha levushim eilu mea Torah mitzvoisea, these three garments of Torah and the commandments. Again, this is regarding the example given, but a person can use his knowledge to know how to bake a cake. Okay, that's knowledge. I know how to bake a cake. I know how to make fried eggs, whatever. That's knowledge. That's also this exactly the same garment, just being used for something else. Either I'm using my knowledge to know what the Torah says, or I'm using my knowledge to know how to bake a cake. It's knowledge. It's machshava. It's thought. Continuing, so again, with the example, in the shlesha levushim elu mehatorah u'mitzvoseha, these three garments of Torah mitzvahs, av shenikraim levushim lenefesh ruach neshama, even though they are called garments for the soul, the different levels of the soul. The Alter Rebbe insists many times, and I always say that I'm not going to explain because I don't really think it's important right now, but these are parts of the soul that are actually invested in the body. Not every single part of the soul is within the body. And it's explained in different places in Kabbalah, mainly how actually a person starts with Nefesh and then he gets the Ruach and the Shara. Gilgulim talks a lot about this. We're not going to learn this right now. The point is, we're talking about the soul within the body. Even though these three garments are called garments for the soul within the body, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Inkol ze gavva gadla malasam leinkeitz v'soif al mailas Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama atzman. Even though they are actually garments, but they're very, very high, higher than the virtue, so to speak, infinitely higher than the virtue of the soul itself. So usually, of course, if a person is wearing something, what's more important, my shirt or myself? No, of course, myself is more important. I can change my shirt and I cannot change myself. I'm like the important thing over here, not my shirt. So in this case, it's the other way around. Wait a second, there's a point in which the garments are more higher, so to speak, not more important, but higher than the soul itself. How does it come? Kama shekasu b'zoyer. As it's written in the Zoyer in Kabbalah, it's written over there, D'oraisa b'kutsha b'richu kol achat, that God and the Torah are one thing. What does that mean? Pirush, D'oraisa y'chokhmas v'retzoni shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The idea of Oraisa, the Torah, is the wisdom and the will of God. But God wants this and that, and he tells you through the Torah what to do, what not to do, and so on. And this wisdom and will of God, which is what it's expressed in the Torah, and he himself, in his glory, he himself, are one thing. Why? The Alter Rebbe actually brought this in the second chapter. I'm sorry, in the first chapter. In the second chapter, yeah. This is right. Because God is the one knowing, and the knowledge, etc., as we wrote before in the second chapter, in the name of the Rambam. Of Maimonides, the whole discussion between the Maimonides and the Maharal of Prague, we're not going to go back to that. But the point is that God is one with his knowledge, and his knowledge is the Torah. So God is one with the Torah. So, V'av, the Akash Baruch Hu Nikra, Ein Soif, V'ligdulos Ein Cheker, V'liz Machshavat Tfiso Beiklal. And even though God is called infinite, in his greatness, he brings a verse, a pasuk. His greatness is unmeasurable, and there's no thought that can grasp him at all. So wait a second. You're saying that the Torah and God are one. All right, I got it. The Zohar says, all right, we're going to take it. The Zohar says it. But it doesn't make any sense, because God is infinite, and the Torah is not infinite. You know, I can pick up a book. Here, I have the Torah. You see? Full of letters and whatever, and it's not infinite. So how come an infinite God fits, quote unquote, in a finite book with letters and so on? Doesn't make any sense. There's no thought that can grasp God, but I can grasp the Torah. I can go and learn it, and I'm going to understand whatever what I understand. And the same thing happens with his will and his wisdom, kediksiv, as it's written, ein heker litvunosei. There's no, as it's written, there's no understanding to his understanding. Like, I cannot understand his mind, so to speak. And it's written, anyone that's going to analyze, like a rhetorical question, anyone analyzing is going to understand God. Forget it, you're not going to understand anything. And it's also written, my thoughts, says God, are not like your thoughts. So how can you say that God and the Torah are one thing? Again, God is infinite. And I, like the Alter Rebbe brought many proofs from many different places that it's impossible to grasp God. But the Torah you can grasp. So I don't understand how they come, how it comes there one. Hine al ze amru, on this our sages said, a famous phrase in the Gemara, in Talmud, b'makom she'ata moitzei gedulosei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sham ata moitzei vesanusei. In the same place where you find the greatness of God, there itself you can find the humility of God. What does that mean? God, so to speak, not concealed, but comprised, like he made himself fit, so to speak, his will and his wisdom in 613 commandments in the Torah and their laws, with Sirufei Oisis Tanakh, and in the combination of the letters of the whole Bible, so to speak, the whole Tanakh, with Darshei Seyen, Sheba Godes, and all the explanations of our sages in the stories of Midrashi Chachamei Nuzal, and all the Midrashim and the explanations of our sages. Why did God do this? In order so that every single soul in the body of a person could understand it in his understanding, grasp it in his understanding, and fulfill every single thing that you can actually fulfill in action, speech, and thought. So God, actually, again, tzimtzum, that's the key word over here, that my English is not allowing me to translate, but tzimtzum means like comprising himself, like he's really coming into a smaller version, so to speak, so that we can grasp him. And through this, the soul can actually, with all its 10 powers, described in chapter 3, in all its levels, so to speak, can actually get invested in these 3 garments. So the Alter Rebbe asked a question over here, and he just answered. What was the question? The question was, even though we're talking about garments, and usually garments are not so important, in this particular case, garments have a virtue, something greater than the soul itself. The Alter Rebbe is going to say later, much, much later, that the soul, after all, it's a creature. God created the soul, and it's a creature that actually feels itself. Hello, I'm here. Yes, I have a sense of being alive. I am alive. You can ask why, how, and that's a different question. You're alive. So, okay, I'm here, and I like God, and I love God. Yeah, yeah. You feel yourself, and you love God, and you fear God. Yeah, but it's you. It starts from you. So the soul has this egoistic, so to speak, thing to it. Not bad, because God created it that way, but still feels itself. And the garments, what does it mean, the garments? Oh, Torah. The Torah you know, the mitzvahs you keep, that's completely united to God. No egoistic ego feeling, so to speak. Because that's exactly the will of God, that a person should do this. A person should think about that. A person should talk about that. So we see that, after all, the garments have a very important virtue that the soul doesn't have. The way it's unified with God. And the soul is only invested within the garments, so to speak. But it's not really one with the garments. And the garments are really one with God. The soul is one with God through the garments. But the garments are really one with God. Velochen, that's why, since the Torah actually, so to speak, it's a smaller version, so to speak, of God, actually expresses God's will perfectly and God's wisdom perfectly. Velochen, that's why. Nimshel haTorah lemay. That's why the Torah is compared to water. Actually, the Torah is compared to many liquids. Water, wine, oil, in different places, in different contexts. But in this case, the Alter Rebbe talks about water. How's the water? The water comes down from a high place to a low place. The same thing happens with the Torah. Yarda mimakom kvoida came down from its glorious place. Which, what is that glorious place? The will and the wisdom of God. And he repeats. And the Torah and God are one thing. And there's no thought that actually can grasp God. From that place of complete impossibility of understanding, Misham Nasa Veyarda, Beseisera Madreigas, Madreiga Le Madreiga. From there it traveled, so to speak, Torah, and came down in the hidden levels, level after level, Vishtalshelusa Oilamais, in an infinite chain of worlds, of levels. Ad shenislav shabed varun gashmim binyanei yoyle mazeh, to the point that the Torah came down and it got invested into physical and material things and the things of this world. Like the Torah talking about when you buy a cow and you want to exchange it with a donkey, he's talking about material things. This food you can eat, this food you cannot eat, wear this thing, don't wear that thing. He's talking about material things. But really it is the wisdom of God. Shehein, these material ideas that the Torah talks about, roiv mitzvot haTorah kekulam milchaseihem. It's the most of the mitzvot of the commandments of the Torah actually are physical things and their laws related to those commandments and so on. Ubetziruf yisus gashmius bedio eila sefer. And the Torah also invests itself in the combination of letters, physical letters, ink on parchment. You can actually read it, pick it up and read it. The 24 books of the Torah, the prophets and the writings. Why? Why did God do this? So every thought can actually grasp on those material things. Like if the Torah talks about a cow, I know what a cow is. I saw cows, I touched cows. Okay, so I can understand what it's talking about. Yeah, but the truth is there's a very deep, profound understanding beyond the cow. Yeah, but it shows itself as a cow, as talking about a cow. Yafil v'chinas divur u'maiseh shelemata v'madregas machshava tfizo bahen u'mitlabeshet bahen. And even the lowest levels of speech and action that in comparison with thought are really lower, they also can really understand and get invested into those ideas that the Torah talks about, simple, so to speak, ideas. And since the Torah and the commandments, what actually wear, so to speak, they are on top of, they are the garments of all the 10 levels of the soul described in chapter 3, the whole Tariag Evarea Miroisheva Dragla, and the whole 613 members, so to speak, of the soul, from the head to the toes. So you get over here that the whole soul is completely tied, so to speak, to the lace of life, or whatever you say, the cord of life. I don't know how to translate this. Hashem, literally. And the light of God, literally, is surrounding and clothing, so to speak, from the head to the toes. The whole Torah, the whole soul. The Torah vests, it's a garment to the whole soul. It's written, Tzur Eches Eboy, God is my rock. I will take refuge in Him. I'm not so good in English. That it's written like a shield. My will crown you. This is talking about the will and the wisdom of God. That are actually invested, the will and the wisdom of God, in the Torah and its commandments. So we see that the reason why God actually made the Torah come down, that's why it's compared to water, it's so for us. It's for our benefit, not for Him. He doesn't need this. It's for our benefit, so we can grasp Him. Then you can ask whether He needs us to grasp Him. And that's a different philosophical question. I don't care. This is what He wants, that we should grasp Him and understand Him. How does He do this? He's infinite, so He actually put Himself into the Torah. Actually, the Talmud says, the Alter Rebbe doesn't bring it, but the Talmud says something very interesting. The first word of the Ten Commandments is Anoichi. I'm God, your Lord, and so on. Anoichi. And the Talmud says it's actually three words. Anna nafshi chsavis yahavis. I myself, says God, I myself in these writings gave. Like, I gave myself in these writings. Anna nafshi chsavis yahavis. You want to take me? Take the Torah. Take the Torah. And actually, the Alter Rebbe brings it later. He says, the prophet says, Hoy kol tzame lechul amayim. Every person that is thirsty should go to the waters. Now, do you really need a prophet to tell you that if you're thirsty, go drink water? Like, every simple person knows that. So what does the prophet say? If you're thirsty of God, go learn Torah. Oh, yeah, I didn't know that. You need a prophet to tell you that. You would never think that by just learning a book, you will connect to God. No? Okay, so the prophet comes and says, are you thirsty of God? Learn Torah. Velochen. That's why our sages said, Omru, they said, it's much better one moment of repentance and good deeds in this world than the whole life in the world to come. Why? Because what's the world to come? What does that mean? The Talmud says, the tzaddikim, the righteous people, are actually benefiting from a ray of divine presence. That's the lashon itself. Ziva shchina, a ray from divine presence. What is that? Shutainu ga'asaga. That's the pleasure of understanding. So what does the Gan Eden, the paradise, the Jewish paradise look like? Understanding God. That's what it is. Like others have, 70 women or whatever. We don't have that. We don't care about that. We just want to know God. That's all we want. That's the Gan Eden. That's the paradise. And the Rambam says this clearly at the end of his book. It's not my invention. Now, Iepshar Leshum Nibra, it's impossible for any creature, afilu me'ailyonim, even the highest and the loftiest creatures, angels or whatever they are, lehasi, to grasp God. It's impossible. They just get some reflection of the light of God. Just a very, very small reflection of God. And again, reflection means it's not the same thing. It's not the thing itself. It's like a hologram. You see a whole body moving and somebody talking. Yeah, but it's not the thing. I want the thing itself. I don't want to see a movie looking at... I want the actor itself. I want to talk to him. So over here, in Gan Eden, in the paradise, you have Eizo hahara me'ir Hashem. You have some kind of reflection of the light of God. Velochen nikra b'shem ziva shchina. That's why our sages use the language, a ray of divine presence. A ray, ziv. Aval HaKadosh Baruch b'chvodo v'atzmoy, but God himself in his glory? Forget it. Leitzmach shavat v'iso beklal. He repeated it already like 3-4 times this phrase in the same chapter. There's no thought that can grasp God. Forget it. By definition. Ki'im, except. You can grasp him, except. Kasher tfiso mitzlabeshet batoiru mitzvisa. Except for when the Torah gets invested, grasped and invested in the Torah and its commandments. Azai hit fiso bahem. And then the soul grasps that. I jumped at one line. Umislabesh v'kosh baruch umamish. And the Torah, it's really the soul is invested within God himself. So when you are invested within Torah, since the Torah and God are one, like the Alter says now, Torah and God are one thing. So when you're invested in Torah, you're actually invested with God. When you connect yourself to Torah, when you understand Torah, when you have Torah in your mind, and this is an introduction actually for the next chapter. When you have God in your mind, you're one with God. I'm sorry, when you have Torah in your mind, you have God in your mind. That's what I meant. When you learn no Torah, you're actually knowing God. Actually, the Talmud says, the Alter Rebbe also doesn't mention it over here, mentions it later. Torah says, when you're learning Torah, what should be the feeling of a person learning Torah? Just as in the moment when we received the Torah. It was be'eimo, be'iro, be'rez, be'ziyah. The Torah says, the Talmud says, they were afraid, the Jews in Mount Sinai, they were afraid, they were... Again, Eima, Ira, it's the same thing. They were trembling. It was a tremendous situation. That's what you should be feeling when you learn Torah. Because right now, God is within you. God is with you. He's giving himself to you right now. That's what the feeling should be, just as was the feeling of the Matan Torah. Ve'av, and he goes again, because it's not so easy. So he's asking exactly the same question he asked before. Even though the Torah actually gets invested in lower things, material things. Again, I'm learning about a cow, a guy that wants to interchange a cow and a donkey, a guy that stole this guy. That's what you're learning about. So why are you telling me that I'm one with God by learning this? I'm talking about a cow. So the Alter Rebbe gives a fantastic explanation. It's short, it's so powerful. I'll give you an example, says the Alter Rebbe. It's like hugging the king. There's no difference in the virtue of your closeness and your attachment to the king. It doesn't make a difference whether he's wearing actually one piece of garment or he's wearing many pieces of garment. Like when you hug your son. Am I hugging the shirt of my son? Who cares about the shirt? I'm hugging my son. Same thing happens over here. If you're hugging God through learning Torah, do you really care how many garments are there between you and God, the king? It doesn't make any difference. I'm hugging the king. So the fact that it is invested into so many lawyers and lawyers and lawyers, like an onion, lawyers up on top of lawyers, until you get, I'm talking about a cow and a donkey. That's just a lawyer. Don't forget. That's just a garment, but you're actually hugging God. Because the body of the king is within all those garments. So what do I care how many garments the king is wearing? I'm hugging the king. The same thing happens the other way around. And the Alter Rebbe again is preparing, so to speak, to go into the next chapter. If the king is hugging you, it's just you hugging the king. What do you think? He doesn't care like a dead thing. I'm here, hug me if you want. I'm not going to move myself. No, 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 no. The king is hugging you also. Bizroyoy, with his arm. Even though this arm has a garment on top of it. You don't see the arm of the melech, of the king. You see the garment. Yeah, but the king is over there. As it's written, in Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, his right hand, so to speak, right arm, is hugging me. Shehi HaTorah. This is referring directly to the Torah. The whole Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, people think is a man and a woman, and you're nice, I'm nice, or whatever. It's talking about God and the Jewish people. And in this particular case, the right hand, his right hand, is talking about the Torah. That it was given from the right hand, so to speak, of God, which actually it's a reference to the kindness of God and the idea of water that we said before, that it comes down. So as a summary of chapter 4, first of all, the Alter Rebbe told us there are three garments, machshava, dibur, maaseh, thought, speech, and action. He gave us the example of the mitzvahs, knowing Torah, learning Torah or doing the mitzvahs that are related to speech, and then doing the commandments, of course. And then he explained that actually these garments connect you to God, and they're much more connected to God than the soul itself. Than the soul itself. In other words, this is not going to sound nice, but I think it's important to say it. It's not enough just to have a soul to be connected to God. Like many, many people say, I'm a Jew in the heart. I feel like, you know, Christianity is all based on that. You just believe on, and that's enough. You can do whatever you want. Just believe in me. I'm the, whatever. That's not enough. Judaism says, no, 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 you didn't get anything. The main thing is action. Do what you have to do. Talk about what you have to talk and think and know the things you have to know. That's the main thing. And that's what's going to connect you to God. Not your heart. No, of course, it's much nicer to feel love for God and fear for God. Yeah, that's important. And he spoke about it in chapter 3. He's going to talk about it later in the 40s, in chapter 40s. But the main thing over here is, are you actually doing what you have to do? Because by doing that, you actually get connected to God. You are hugging God, and God is hugging you. That's chapter 4.